dodge taxes, and Haitians prepare for more fraudulent elections. We'll hear from Flashpoints reporter Kevin Pina at 11 on Between the Covers. Host Ken Jones talks with author James Anderson, founder of Brightbush Books, about his debut novel, The Never Open Desert Diner. And at 11 on the Radio Zine, host Andrew Geller speaks with veteran environmental journalist and author Fred Pierce, whose latest title is The New Wild: Why Invasive Species Will Be Nature's Salvation. Coming up next, it's Chris Andre hosting Air Cascadia. Headlines, interviews, and commentary. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. Not a current member? You can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate today.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor for ALEC Expo's film screening and workshop on June 18th, 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church in Portland. ALEC, the American Legislators Exchange Council, is a corporate-directed organization which writes model legislation for state legislatures around the nation that is beneficial to multinational corporations. Secretive corporate-directed and funded organizations like ALEC undermine the principles of citizens participating in democratic processes. ALEC Expos explain how ALEC functions, who is involved, and how to fight back to promote democratic, non-corporate values. Again, that's ALEC Expos, June 18th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church on Southwest 12th and Salmon in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the home page under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, June 18th, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Our guest today, Christina Flores, is with Greenpeace. She has updates for us from events that are happening just to the north, up in Seattle, where Kai activists are still harrowing the drilling equipment that Shell would like to drag up to the Arctic this summer. There is a great deal going on. There are other ships. There are the support ships that go along with this thing. They tried it once before. It was an abject failure. The drilling platform very nearly broke loose and hit the shore. And they're going to try pretty much exactly the same thing again, as if they haven't learned their lesson. Well, the Kai activists are there in full force to teach them that lesson once again. So Christina Flores will be with us in just a moment. We're also, at the moment, trying to reach Kylea Starley with the Southern Poverty Law Center. She, or perhaps Heidi, will join us today to talk about the shooting that took place, is absolute tragedy. 9 dead at a historic church in Charleston, South Carolina. 9 people. A historic black church in Charleston. Here in Portland, the response has been immediate and outraged. The Albina Ministerial Alliance, so calm and solemn and dignified in the midst of all of this. The Ad Hoc Coalition for Community Justice, there's going to be a prayer vigil for the victims in Charleston at 6 p.m. today at the Bethel AME Church. The AME Church and Albina Ministerial Alliance Coalition for Justice and Police Reform will be holding the vigil. And, of course, all are invited. The more people who come out in a calm, dignified, prayerful way to demonstrate to the world at large who we are as a people. We also have news. This is interesting that the Pope, Pope Francis, has issued an encyclical on climate where he very clearly ties climate collapse to human intervention in the systems that sustain us. We have only one planet. We have nowhere else to go. We are expected to be good stewards of this planet that we have been given. Francis accused skeptics of cynically ignoring or manipulating the scientific evidence, and he called for urgent political and spiritual conversion of global leaders and individuals in curbing climate change and ending those policies that destroy the environment. He had harsh words to say for the fossil fuel industry. On that note, we turn now to our first guest of the day, Christina Flores with Greenpeace. Christina, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
Well, we have been following closely the events in Seattle. Many people from Portland, I believe, have gone up there and to join the kayaktivists. I have my kayak strapped to the top of my truck right now, even as we speak. I'll be probably heading that way as soon as I'm able to. And in any case, Greenpeace has been in a leadership position here on this issue, I believe. So, of course, Rising Tide, and, of course, many others that we can and we should name, because they're all out there, as are people who are unaffiliated with any particular group but have been moved to hit the waves and sit down, as in this case, and unless you have a stand-up paddleboard, but to stop this from happening, it only takes a small effort to stop very great things. It's again David and Goliath, and so it makes a difference. Can you talk a little bit about the difference it is currently making?
Absolutely. I mean, just in the day out that we were out there on the water while the Polar Pioneer was leaving Seattle, just seeing the camaraderie and the trust built across many groups, as you said it yourself, the many groups are coming together into leadership positions to build a coalition of activists. And I think that is the first sign that this is working, is that we're coming together and working in ways that we haven't before.
So approximately how many people do you figure on any given day when an action takes place? Who's out there on the water? And it's not just kayaks, of course. There's all kinds of people out there on the water. This weekend, is there anything in particular that you would like people to know about?
Well, a lot. Again, it was such a coalition of people that, honestly, when you were out there paddling, or in my case, out on a boat, you had no idea who was next to you because we were unbranded. I know that groups that are working behind the scenes, like Backbone, which I had the pleasure of meeting several people who work with them, but that's the beauty of it, is that we came together and we didn't know who each other were. We just knew that we were a group of people who were coming together for the same reason, despite whatever differences may have existed previous to that moment.
This is interesting to myself, of course, and to in light of, and listeners too, who heard Arun Gupta speaking yesterday on the show about the privatization, the corporatization of some of the larger, wealthier, more powerful groups. And although, yes, we say, of course, that they do some good work, but it's this the clickbait activism where you go to the website and it says donate now, and if you want to change the world on your lunch hour, click the button, and people do that, and then they think that's it, that's all it takes. And what you're talking about is exactly the type of activism that Arun was lauding and applauding, because it escapes and it flies under the radar, and it is far more powerful in many respects than the corporatized form of protest that we see burgeoning right now. And it's got Pope Francis out on in the environment. Can't get any bigger than the Catholic Church. But that said, for people who are not absolutely up to speed on what the Polar Explorer is and what this drilling platform, what they propose to do with it. Do you want to bring people up to speed on that?
Sure thing. So as of right, well, I'll just back up and start with the Polar Pioneer being in Seattle. So we know that President Obama approved shells permits for or exploring permits in the Arctic. And then the Port Commissioner of Seattle authorized the Polar Pioneer to be docked there and stationed while it did repairs and had inspections. And now it's en route to Alaska to do testing. They're going to be doing, I believe, drilling for test wells. And so this is just the beginning of several stages of them exploring and exploiting the Arctic. Along the way, there's been small protests. I shouldn't say small because this is actually quite a large effort, but there have been plenty of resistance points along the way, working to keep the Polar Pioneer out of the Arctic as long as possible.
So when is they? Excuse me, I believe I misspoke a moment ago and referred to it as the Polar Explorer. It's not, of course, it's the Polar Pioneer. I know that perfectly well. But so it will be, they expect it will head north. When do they expect to start dragging this thing northward?
You know, I'm not 100% sure what shell date is that they plan on being in the Arctic. And I'm just assuming that they have given thought to the fact that they are going to be dealing with resistance along the way. They only have a small window to drill in the Arctic because there's a small season where it'll be, quote-unquote, manageable for them to drill in this area. So I know that they want to get there as fast as possible. Because they only have a small window.
Well, that's what I was. What I thought. And last time they attempted this, it ended in a complete fiasco. Why are they trying exactly the same thing again? What difference this time?
To be perfectly honest, I don't see any difference. It's just claiming that they have safe technology or that they're going to do it in the most responsible manner. But we know that this isn't true. We know that there's a 75% chance that they will drill in the Arctic or spill in the Arctic. But the point of it is profit. It's money at all costs. I mean, when we saw the Polar Pioneer leaving the port of Seattle, they completely had no regard for human life whatsoever. They just came charging at the activists in the water. And the Coast Guard continued to increase the safety zone around them. They're reckless, willing to put people's lives at risk. And, I mean, in the first day of them trying to get out, it's my understanding that the tide was too low for them to get out, and they ended up being stuck just outside of the port of Seattle for several hours.
You'd think, I mean, even minimal in preparation just to go for a nice sail in the afternoon, one does, in fact, check tide books and have some notion of what the tide is going to be, especially if one is piloting a gigantic umpteen million ton drilling rig. It is good to take a look at the tide books and just figure things out a bit. About people who are being turned loose in the Arctic in a very fragile habitat. Tell our listeners a bit. We've got just a couple of minutes left. So they get there, and have we been told what exactly they're thinking of in as far as safety goes? Because they talk about this. That word gets bandied about. Well, I haven't heard very much, and I look at the Shell website, what they're going to do.
You know, I'm not entirely sure either. I think their goal is to just continue using the word safety and hope that someone believes them. But we all know that they already had issues with the Noble Explorer. They already, their safety containment was crushed like a beer can in the harsh weather conditions. So we've already seen that they've messed up and they don't know how to do this safely. And the CEO has already admitted that there's a 75% chance of a spill. So what safety they're talking about, I think it's just an elusive concept that none of us are actually buying.
And again, it's astonishing to me that this would be allowed to go forward, especially in light of the fact that it was a disaster the last time they tried it, and it's absolutely identical. We've touched on a number of different topics in the brief time that we have. What else? We have about a minute and a half left. What would you like to convey? What would you like to tell listeners today before we let you go?
Well, I just want to say that the pressure is working. I mean, we can tell that. I mean, President Obama in his Twitter conversation with basically his open conversation about Ask Me Anything, when he answered questions, he would answer in only one or two tweets.
I like
but
twit.
But when it came to answering questions about the Arctic and why he allowed permits, he was very defensive. And so we know that we're getting under the president's skin right now, because this really is his last chance to make a good impression and leave a great climate legacy. So he's hearing the people. We're doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing, resisting. The people need to continue to show their dislike for the fact that Shell has been allowed to drill in the Arctic. It's just reminding the people, we have the power. Come out, be present, and let our president know who still has the opportunity to revoke Shell's permits. He doesn't have to let this happen.
Thank you so much.
We still have about 2 weeks before there. Yeah.
2 weeks. Think about that, people. Christina Flores with Greenpeace, thank you so much for joining us today. It has been great talking to you, and of course, it's always inspires action. Thanks. I just want to let listeners know, if you haven't already taken note of this, that Bernie Sanders, this goes back a couple of days, in a trio of new polls in early primary states, Bernie Sanders is surging ahead, and comes as a surprise to political prophets of doom. So that said, on that note, this has been Air Cascadia before, of course, Thursday, June 18th, 2015. Rock Bergeron engineered the show for us today. Thank you so much for that, Rock. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned. Don't forget, it is tonight at the Bethel AME Church at 6 p.m. That's at 5828 Northeast 8th Avenue in Portland.